85. And then where on 85 do we start?
I think they just say 85.
So okay, so on the top, yeah.
Should I stop? You want to stop?
I can start, yeah. The women say they have learned to rely on their own strength. They say they are aware of the force of the unity. They say, let those who call for a new language first learn violence. They say, let those who want to change the world first seize all the rifles. They say that they are starting from zero. They say that a new world is beginning.
Should I go? Which way am I going?
Sorry?
No, carry on if you want.
Okay.
Maybe everyone can just read out a page. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do more, or a bit more if it's still in the paragraph.
Yeah. To Hippolyta was sent the lion of the triple night. They say that it took 3 nights to engender a monster with a human face capable of overcoming the queen of the Amazons. The stern fight she had using bow and arrows, his desperate resistance when she dragged it far into the mountains so as not to jeopardize the life of her kin. They say they know nothing of these, that the story has not been written. They say that until that day, the women had always been defeated. The game consists of posing a series of questions. For example, who says, I wish it, I order it, my will must take the place of reason? Or who must never act according to their will? Or else, who is only an animal, the color of flowers? There are plenty of others, such as, who must observe the three obediences and whose destiny is written in their anatomy? The answer to all the questions is the same. Then they begin to laugh ferociously, slapping each other on the shoulders. Some of the women, lips parted, spit blood.
To sleep, they enter the white cells. They are hollowed out in the rock face by hundreds of thousands. Their centric openings are tangential. The women travel there rapidly, at full speed in fact. Naked, their hair covering their shoulders, they choose their place as they climb. It is possible to lie down in the cell, which resembles an egg, a sarcophagus, an O in view of the shape of its aperture. Several can stay there together, gesticulating, singing, sleeping. It is a place of privileged sanctuary, though not sealed off. The isolation of oneself from another is such that even if one bangs with all one's might against the avoid walls, the sound of the blows is not perceived in the agent's cell. When one is lying down in the cell, it is impossible to discern the occupants of the other cells. Before the general retirement for the night, confused murmurs of voices are heard, then distinctively, the phrase, this order must be changed, forcefully, repeated by thousands of voices. Okay, I'll try the name. Anactoria, Psfafa, Leto, Ubawae, Shea, Nengal, Iphis, Lydia, Genevieve, Eugenia, Theodora, Wati, Nut, Bete, Eteferes, Gudrun, Veronica, Emma.
The habitations of James studied, multicolored, spherical. Some are transparent, some float in the air and drift gently, others are attached to dull steel pylons that look like stalks from a distance. The habitations are fixed at differing heights, their interposition varies. There is no symmetry in their arrangement. They are attached to the pylons at right angles by transverse shafts. The length of these shafts also varies. It is not possible at this distance to determine what allows the inhabitants to gain access to their houses. The pylons are very tall. Their metallic structures with their clean and precise outlines are seen against the horizon. The spheres are suspended from them by the 100,000. Between spheres are seen moving clouds, the sun or the moon, the stars. When the wind gets up, the spheres all begin to move at once, soundlessly. From every point on the plain, the women march towards the town. They wear identical costumes. These consist of black trousers, flared below, narrow at the hips, and wide tunics that confine the bust. They are barefooted, or else they wear light sandals. Several among them march singing long, interminably modulated phrases in a high-pitched voice, for example, cry. Is there gold elsewhere more celestial? The wasps of bullets are not for me. There are Elsa, Brouwer, Julie, Brunel, Odile, Rock, Evelyn, Sabir. They stand before the great gathering of women. Elsa Brouwer strikes the cymbals, one against the other when she stops speaking, while Julie, Brunel, Odile, Rock, Evelyn, Sabir accompany her with long rolls on their drums. Elsa Brouwer says something like, "There was a time when you were not a slave, remember that. You walked alone, full of laughter, you bathed bare-bellied. You say you have lost all recollection of it, remember. The wild roses flower in the woods. Your hand is torn on the bushes, gathering the mulberries and strawberries you refresh yourself with. You run to catch the young hares that you flay with stones from the rocks to cut them up and eat, all hot and bleeding. You know how to avoid meeting a bear on the track. You know the winter fear when you hear the wolves gathering. But you can remain seated for hours in the treetops to await morning. You say there are no words to describe this time. You say it does not exist. But remember, make an effort to remember, or failing that, invent."
They speak together of the threat they have constituted towards authority. They tell how they were burned on the pyres to prevent them from assembling in the future. They were able to command tempests, to sink fleets, to destroy armies. They have been the mistresses of poisons, of the winds, of the will. They were able to exercise their powers at will and to transform all kinds of persons into mere animals, geese, pigs, birds, turtles. They have ruled over life and death. Their conjoint power has menaced hierarchy systems of government authorities. Their knowledge has completed successfully with the official knowledge to which they have no access. It has challenged it, found it wanting, threatened it, made it appear inefficacious. No police were powerful enough to track them down, no paid informer so opportunist, no torture so brutal, no army so overwhelming as to attack them one by one and destroy them. Then they chant the famous song that begins, "Despite all the evils they wish to crush me with, I remain as steady as a three-legged cauldron." The progression continues simultaneously with the completion of the cycle, but that is to say too much or too little. The women say that to complete a cycle, a series of brilliant deeds or extraordinary and baleful events is required. Charlotte Bernard says that they are not concerned. Emmanuelle Achard says that it is no longer done to marvel at this kind of cycle. Mary Serge says that in any case, the cycle may relate to myth and may not mention acts that have any semblance of reality. Famine Poujon says that for women to be wholly engaged, it is necessary to invent these. Then they laugh and fall backward from force of laughing. Or all are infected. A noise rises like the rolling drums under a vault. The bricks of the ceiling fall one by one, uncovering through the openings of the gilded panelling of lofty rooms. The stones of the mosaics fly out, the glass panes clatter down. There are shafts of blue, red, orange, mauve. I'll do this bit. Nguyen, Bahisat, Vladia, Emily, Moreau, Domitia, Annabelle, Selma, Mumtaz, Nojaman, Alda, Arthis, Arania, Leontine, Carol, Gorinio, Gongyla, Arginota.
The laughter does not lessen. The women pick up the bricks and using them as missiles, they bombarded the statues that remain standing in the midst of disorder. They set about bringing down the remaining stones. There is a terrible clash of stone against stone. They evacuate those among them who are injured. The systematic destruction of the building is carried through by the women in the midst of the storm of cries and shouts, while the laughter continues, spreads, becomes general. It comes to an end only when nothing remains of the building, but stones on stones. They then lie down and fall asleep. In Helena Forcada's story, Trio has deployed her troops at daybreak. She's seated motionless on a white elephant. One by one, the women, the captains, come to her, salute her. They hold out their bare hands before her, palms open towards the sky in a token of loyalty. Then each of the armies pass, heads turned upwards, the motionless Thria. The last eunuchs execute a wheeling movement on the spot. The garments of the combats are blue without ornament. Thria is dressed in red. When all are still and have placed their weapons at the feet of Thria, removes the silk band that binds her head. Her black hair uncoils and falls abruptly over her shoulders. Then the combatants utter a great cry, chanting the song. May the rice fields rot for those who invade them. Day and night we fight without truce. They say that it's better to die than to live as slaves. At this point, Thria starts forward at the head of detachment. They say that they leap like young horses beside the Urtara. Stamping the ground, they speed their movements. They shake their hair like banshees who love to agitate their phthisis. They say quickly now, fasten your floating hair with a bandana and stamp the ground. Stamp it like a doe. Beat out the rhythm needed for the dance. Homage to the warlike Minerva, the warrior bravest of the goddesses. Begin the dance. Step forward lightly. Move in a circle. Hold each other by the hand. Let everyone observe the rhythm of the dance. Spring forward lightly. The ring of the dancers must revolve so that their glance lights everywhere.
They say that they foster disorder in all its forms. Confusion troubles, violent debates, disarray upsets, disturbance, incoherences, irregularities, divergences, complications, disagreements, discords, clashes, polemics, discussions, contentions, brawls, disputes, conflicts, roots, debacles, catalysms, disturbances, quarrels, agitation, turbulence, conflagrations, chaos, anarchy. The women say that they have a concern for strategy and tactics. They say that the massive armies that comprise divisions, corps, regiments, sections, companies are ineffectual. Their exercises consist of maneuvers, marches, guards, patrols. These afford no real practice for combat. They say that they do not prepare for combat. They say that in these armies, the handling of weapons is not taught efficiently. They say that such armies are institutions. One refers to their barracks, their posts, their garrisons. One speaks of their transport, their engineers, their artillery, their infantry, their general stuff. In this context, strategy consists of making plans, of campaign, operational tactics, of advance and retreat. Thus, strategy is equivalent to tactics, both being short-term. They say that with this concept of war, weapons are difficult to deploy. Effectives cannot adapt to every situation. Most of the time they fight over unfamiliar ground. They say that they are not noted for all the city. They say that they cannot fight with precision. They retreat or advance according to plans whose tactics and strategy are beyond them. They say that these armies are not formidable. The effectives being conscripted, participation not being voluntary.
Their favorite weapons are portable. They consist of rocket launchers which they carry on shoulder. The shoulder serves as a support for firing. It is possible to run and charge position extremely quickly without loss of firepower. There is every kind of rifle. There are machine guns and rocket launchers. There are traps with jaws in ditches and pitfalls, hollows lined with rows of slicing bamboo blades driven in as stakes. The maneuvers are raids, ambushes, surprise attacks, followed by a rapid retreat. The objective is not to gain ground, but to destroy the greatest number of the enemy, to annihilate his armament, to compel him to move blindly, never to grant him the initiative in engagements, to harass him without pause. Using such tactics to put an enemy out of action without killing him is to immobilize several individuals, the one who is wounded and those who bring aid. It is the best way to sow disarray. The women say that, with the world full of noise, they see themselves as already in possession of the industrial complexes. They are in the factories, aerodromes, radio stations. They have control of communication. They have taken possession of aeronautical, electronic, ballistic data processing factories. They are in the foundries, tall furnaces, navy yards, arsenals, refined distilleries. They have taken possession of pumps, presses, levers, rolling mills, winches, pulleys, cranes, turbine, pneumatic drills, arcs, and blow lamps. They say that they envisage themselves acting with strength and happiness. They say that they hear themselves shout and sing. Let the sun shine, the world is ours.
Look at him, this cripple who hides his calf as best he can. Look at him, look at his timid springless gait. In his city it is easy to do him violence. You lie in wait for him at the street corner one night. He thinks you are beckoning to him. You profit by this to take him by surprise. He hasn't even the reflex to cry out. Ambushed in his town, you chase him. You lay hands on him. You capture him. You surprise him, shouting with all your might. The women say that they could not eat hare, veal, or fowl. They say that they could not eat animals, but man, yes, they may. He says to them, throwing his head back with pride, poor wretches of women, if you eat him, you will go to work in the fields, who will produce food, consumer goods, who will make the airplanes, who will pilot them, who will provide the spermatozoa, who will write the books, who in fact will govern. Then the women laugh, baring their teeth to the fullest extent.
That was such a good timing.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, too long. Yeah.
Okay.
I like this circle.
Yeah. That's a good conclusion.
I know.
Where we now eat you.
Yes.
I love this. I love this concept. I'm not gonna destroy you. It's gonna wound you. So.
So
you need help from the rest of your team. That's the best tactic, right?
Yeah.
Saying it out loud. It really means a lot to me.
I'm gonna read that. We try.
Aren't you very good in Latin, Eva?
It's not Latin.
It's not Latin?
Wait, there's 73 pages.
Yeah, but we only...
Sorry, you said...
Yeah, so 85 to 96.
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
More like...
I like to have a little... This is not... It's names. Oh, like a lot of it is names. Theodora.
Oh, yeah.
And Victoria, Psala, little. It's like names of nymph, I think.
Is this Greek nymph?
Which one?
Those guys.
Leto is a nymph that was the lover of, I think, Zeus.
For sure.
Okay. For sure, he had so many.
Yeah.
She's the one in the fountain in Versailles where people turn into frogs.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe you are right. They are named.
Everybody has a text?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn off the hotspot because it drains my battery.
Sorry, what page was it?
85 to 96. I lost it.
Oh. Okay.
The flies again.
Oh, it's because we're sitting right next to the
rubbish. There's a couple of wasps that are actually not wasps, they're just fly that looks like it. Like yesterday.
Tiger flies.
Yeah. Like. So yesterday, like the one that people was running away from was actually just a fly. Well, I noticed because Anna told me, and I was also just being like,
ah! 85. And then, where on 85 do we start?
I think they just say 85.
So okay, so on the top, yeah.
Should I start? You want to start?
I can start, yeah. The women say they have learned to rely on their own strength. They say they are aware of the force of the unity. They say, let those who call for a new language first learn violence. They say, let those who want to change the world first seize all the rifles. They say that they are starting from zero. They say that a new world is beginning.
Sure, I go. Which way am I going?
Sorry?
No, carry on if you want.
Okay.
Maybe everyone can just read out a page. And
a bit more if it's still
in the paragraph.
Yeah. To Hippolyta was sent the lion of the triple night. They say that it took three nights to engender a monster with a human face capable of overcoming the queen of the Amazons. The stern fight she had using bow and arrows, this desperate resistance when she dragged it far into the mountains so as not to jeopardize the life of her kin. They say they know nothing of these, that the story has not been written. They say that until that day, the women had always been defeated. The game consists of posing a series of questions. For example, who says, I wish it, I order it, my will must take the place of reason? Or who must never act according to their will? Or else, who is only an animal, the color of flowers? There are plenty of others, such as who must observe the three obediences and whose destiny is written in their anatomy. The answer to all the questions is the same. Then they begin to laugh ferociously, slapping each other on the shoulders. Some of the women, lips parted, spit blood.
To sleep, they enter the white cells. They are hollowed out in the rock face by hundreds of thousands. Their centric openings are tangential. The women travel there rapidly, at full speed in fact. Naked, their hair covering their shoulders, they choose their place as they climb. It is possible to lie down in the cell, which resemble an egg, a sarcophagus, an O in view of the shape of its aperture. Several can stay there together, gesticulating, singing, sleeping. It is a place of privileged sanctuary, though not sealed off. The isolation of oneself from another is such that even if one bangs with all one's might against the avoid walls, the sound of the blows is not perceived in the agent's cell. When one is lying down in the cell, it is impossible to discern the occupants of the other cells. Before the general retirement for the night, confused murmurs of voices are heard, then distinctively, the phrase, "This order must be changed," forcefully repeated by thousands of voices. Okay, I'll try the name. Anactoria, Pspafa, Leto, Ubawae, Shea, Nengal, Iphis, Lydia, Genevieve, Eugenia, Theodora, Wati, Nut, Bete, Eteferes, Gudrun, Veronica, Emma.
The habitations of gems studded, multicolored, spherical. Some are transparent, some float in the air and drift gently. Others are attached to dull steel pylons that look like stalks from a distance. The habitations are fixed at differing heights. Their interposition varies. There is no symmetry in their arrangement. They are attached to the pylons at right angles by transverse shafts. The length of these shafts also varies. It is not possible at this distance to determine what allows the inhabitants to gain access to their houses. The pylons are very tall. Their metallic structures with their clean and precise outlines are seen against the horizon. The spheres are suspended from them by the 100,000. Between spheres are seen moving clouds, the sun or the moon, the stars. When the wind gets up, the spheres all begin to move at once, soundlessly. From every point on the plain, the women march towards the town. They wear identical costumes. These consist of black trousers, flared below, narrow at the hips, and wide tunics that confine the bust. They are barefooted, or else they wear light sandals. Several among them march singing long, interminably modulated phrases in a high-pitched voice, for example, cry. Is there gold elsewhere more celestial? The wasps of bullets are not for me. There are Elsa, Brouwer, Julie, Brunel, Odile, Rock, Evelyn, Sabir. They stand before the great gathering of women. Elsa Brouwer strikes the cymbals, one against the other when she stops speaking, while Julie, Brunel, Odile, Rock, Evelyn, Sabir accompany her with long rolls on their drums. Elsa Brouwer says something like, "There was a time when you were not a slave, remember that. You walked alone, full of laughter, you bathed bare-bellied. You say you have lost all recollection of it, remember. The wild roses flower in the woods. Your hand is torn on the bushes, gathering the mulberries and strawberries you refresh yourself with. You run to catch the young hares that you flay with stones from the rocks to cut them up and eat, all hot and bleeding. You know how to avoid meeting a bear on the track. You know the winter fear when you hear the wolves gathering. But you can remain seated for hours in the treetops to await morning. You say there are no words to describe this time. You say it does not exist. But remember, make an effort to remember. or failing that, invent.
They speak together of the threat they have constituted towards authority. They tell how they were burned on the pyres to prevent them from assembling in the future. They were able to command tempests, to sink fleets, to destroy armies. They have been the mistresses of poisons, of the winds, of the will. They were able to exercise their powers at will and to transform all kinds of persons into mere animals, geese, pigs, birds, turtles. They have ruled over life and death. Their conjoint power has menaced hierarchy systems of government authorities. Their knowledge has competed successfully with the official knowledge to which they have no access. It has challenged it, found it wanting, threatened it, made it appear inefficacious. No police were powerful enough to track them down, no paid informer so opportunist, no torture so brutal, no army so overwhelming as to attack them one by one and destroy them. Then they chant the famous song that begins, "Despite all the evils they wish to crush me with, I remain as steady as a three-legged cauldron." The progression continues simultaneously with the completion of the cycle, but that is to say too much or too little. The women say that to complete a cycle, a series of brilliant deeds or extraordinary and baleful events is required. Charlotte Bernard says that they are not concerned. Emmanuelle Chat says that it is no longer done to marvel at this kind of cycle. Mary Serge says that in any case the cycle may relate to myth and may not mention acts that have any semblance of reality. Famine Poujon says that for women to be wholly engaged it is necessary to invent these. Then they laugh and fall backward from force of laughing. Or all are infected, a noise rises like the rolling drums under a vault. The bricks of the ceiling fall one by one, uncovering through the openings of the gilded panelling of lofty rooms. The stones of the mosaics fly out, the glass panes clatter down, there are shafts of blue, red, orange, mauve. I'll do this bit. Nguyen, Bahisat, Vladia, Emily, Moreau, Domitia, Annabelle, Selma, Mumtaz, Nojaman, Alda, Arthis, Arania, Leontine, Carol, Guarino, Gongaila, Arginota.
The laughter does not lessen. The women pick up the bricks and, using them as missiles, they bombarded the statues that remain standing in the midst of disorder. They set about bringing down the remaining stones. There is a terrible clash of stone against stone. They evacuate those among them who are injured. The systematic destruction of the building is carried through by the women in the midst of the storm of cries and shouts, while the laughter continues. Spreads, becomes general. It comes to an end only when nothing remains of the building, but stones on stones. They then lie down and fall asleep. In Helena Forcada's story, Trio has deployed her troops at daybreak. She's seated motionless on a white elephant. One by one, the women, the captains, come to her, salute her. They hold out their bare hands before her, palms open towards the sky in a token of loyalty. Then each of the armies pass, heads turned upwards, the motionless Thria, the last eunuchs execute a wheeling movement on the spot. The garments of the combats are blue without ornament. Thria is dressed in red. When all are still and have placed their weapons at the feet of Thria, removes the silk band that binds her head. Her black hair uncoils and falls abruptly over her shoulders. Then the combatants utter a great cry, chanting the song, "May the rice fields rot for those who invade them. Day and night we fight without truce." They say that it's better to die than to live as slaves, At this point, Tria starts forward at the head of detachment. They say that they leap like young horses beside the Urtara, stamping the ground. They speed their movements, they shake their hair like banshees who love to agitate their thyssus. They say quickly now, fasten your floating hair with a bandana and stamp the ground. Stamp it like a doe, beat out the rhythm needed for the dance, homage to the warlike Minerva, the warrior bravest of the goddesses. Begin the dance, step forward lightly, move in a circle, hold each other by the hand. Let everyone observe the rhythm of the dance. Spring forward lightly. The ring of the dancers must revolve so that their glance lights everywhere.
They say that they foster disorder in all its forms. Confusion troubles, violent debates, disarray upsets, disturbance, incoherences, irregularities, divergences, complications, disagreements, discords, clashes, polemics, discussions, contentions, brawls, disputes, conflicts, roots, debacles, catalysms, disturbances, gravels, agitation, turbulence, conflagrations, chaos, anarchy. The women say that they have a concern for strategy and tactics. They say that the massive armies that comprise divisions, corps, regiments, sections, companies are ineffectual. Their exercises consist of maneuvers, marches, guards, patrols. These afford no real practice for combat. They say that they do not prepare for combat. They say that in these armies the handling of weapons is not taught efficiently. They say that such armies are institutions. One refers to their barracks, their posts, their garrisons. One speaks of their transport, their engineers, their artillery, their infantry, their general staff. In this context, strategy consists of making plans of campaign, operational tactics of advance and retreat. Thus, strategy is equivalent to tactics, both being short-term. They say that with this concept of war, weapons are difficult to deploy. Effectives cannot adapt to every situation. Most of the time, they fight over unfamiliar ground. They say that they are not noted for audacity. They say that they cannot fight with precision. They retreat or advance according to plans whose tactics and strategy are beyond them. They say that these armies are not formidable. The effectives being conscripted, participation not being voluntary.
Their favorite weapons are portable. They consist of rocket launchers, which they carry on shoulder. The shoulder serves as a support for firing. It is possible to run and charge position extremely quickly without loss of firepower. There is every kind of rifle. There are machine guns and rocket launchers. There are traps with jaws in ditches and pitfalls, hollows lined with rows of slicing bamboo blades driven in as stakes. The maneuvers are raids, ambushes, surprise attacks, followed by a rapid retreat. The objective is not to gain ground, but to destroy the greatest number of the enemy, to annihilate his armament, to compel him to move blindly, never to grant him the initiative, it in engagements to harass him without pause. Using such tactics to put an enemy out of action without killing him is to immobilize several individuals, the one who is wounded and those who bring aid. It is the best way to sow disarray. The women say that, with the world full of noise, they see themselves as already in possession of the industrial complexes. They are in the factories, aerodromes, radio stations. They have control of communication. They have taken possession of aeronautical, electronic, ballistic data processing factories. They are in the foundries, tall furnaces, navy yards, arsenals, refined distilleries. They have taken possession of pumps, presses, levers, rolling mills, winches, pulleys, cranes, turbine, pneumatic drills, arcs, and blow lamps. They say that they envisage themselves acting with strength and happiness. They say that they hear themselves shout and sing. Let the sun shine, the world is ours.
Look at him, this cripple who hides his calf as best he can. Look at him, look at his timid springless gait. In his city it is easy to do him violence. You lie in wait for him at the street corner one night. He thinks you are beckoning to him. You profit by this to take him by surprise. He hasn't even the reflex to cry out. Ambushed in his town, you chase him. You lay hands on him. You capture him. You surprise him, shouting with all your might. The women say that they could not eat hare, veal, or fowl. They say that they could not eat animals, but man, yes, they may. He says to them, throwing his head back with pride, poor wretches of women, if you eat him, you will go to work in the fields, who will produce food, consumer goods, who will make the airplanes, who will pilot them, who will provide the spermatozoa, who will write the books, who in fact will govern. Then the women laugh, baring their teeth to the fullest extent.
That was such a good timing.
Again.
I like this circle.
Yeah.